Now, we have some time left, so I want to go into a little more advanced stuff and talk about alternative formats for affirmative cases. Not all cases are just harm solvency. Here's the harms, here's the current laws, the inherency that are causing it, here's the plan, here's how we solve. Or here's our advantages from how we solve. Some cases have a little different format. These alternative format cases don't give you the get-out-of-jail-free card that escapes you from the stock issues Mr. Parks was talking about the other night. You still have to deal with problems in the status quo, inherency of current laws that are causing the problem, proving that you solve those problems or that you gain advantages over the present system. You don't escape from those by rewriting a case in a different format. But sometimes the evidence will lead you to a different way of phrasing the problems in the status quo and the benefits to be gained by change. Now again, when I talked about case ideas earlier, remember one of the things I said was, don't start with some crazy case idea and then go try to look for evidence for it. Start by reading the evidence and the articles, and then go write a case based on what the evidence tells you. The same is true with case formats. You don't start by saying, I think today I'm going to write a goals criteria case, and you go out and run off and try to find evidence for it. That's not how it works. The way it works is you look at your evidence that you got by the first means that we talked about, see what the experts are saying. When you find what they're saying, you say, okay, does this evidence sound more like we ought to have these goals or that it's a harm we can solve for it? And let the evidence tell you what kind of case to write. You always start with the evidence. There are at least two kinds of goals cases. There may be more, but these are two that I'm going to talk about. The first kind of goals case says that we should have a goal, but we're not even trying to do it. Another kind of goal case is this is what the goal of the present system is, but we're failing to meet it. We should try some other way of meeting that goal. See the slight nuance of difference between those two. Turn over to page 118 in your blue book. Good example from this year's briefing book is the Improve Mexico's Economy case. On page 118, observation 2, goal. Our policy on illegal immigration should be, notice, our policy should be to address the root cause, not just the consequences. Well, sounds good. And then we have some evidence that supports why that should be the goal. And then we show that the status quo is not meeting that goal because we're not doing X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be. We then come up with a plan that says let's do the things that we're not doing that we should have done to meet the goal. And then, if we meet the goal, we gain some advantages. Now, in this format, you notice I didn't use the word harm. Because this kind of format is really focused more on, sometimes the phrase comparative advantage is used to describe it, even though it's a goals case, but it could be a goals advantage case. You could also call this one format of a comparative advantage case. The cases that talk in this format still haven't escaped from the stock issue of harms and significance. They've simply shifted it around a little bit. What's the harm of the status quo in a case like this? Well, the harm is we're missing out on all these advantages. That's the significance of the problem in the status quo. Why should we change? Because we're missing all these advantages and we'll get them if we vote affirmative. That's the reason for change. That's the deficiency in the status quo that we're trying to fix. Only we're just phrasing it a little differently. So we haven't escaped from the stock issues here. We've just rephrased them because our evidence lends itself more to talking about it in these terms. We let the evidence tell us how to write the case. Notice the card on page 118, last card. Federal government should address the root cause, economic conditions in Mexico. The federal government, this is from Western Governors Association, 2006, the federal government should more aggressively and more effectively address the root cause of illegal immigration, not just its consequences. There's a card that says, we need a new goal. We should be going after the root cause, not just the consequences. Okay? Let's talk about the alternative kind of goal. Here's what the goal is, but we aren't succeeding at it. And maybe you read a card. I don't have a good example of this right at hand, but in past years we have had examples of it in Blue Book. The goal is preventing illegal immigration. And it's probably easy to find a card that says that. We have all these agents out there patrolling the border. We have all these policies in place. That appears to be the goal of the present system. But guess what? We're not meeting it. We're failing to meet the goal. So let's do a plan to change something about what we're doing. We prove that we're not doing it now. We have a plan to do it, and then we gain some advantages by better meeting the goal. If we reduce illegal immigration or prevent it, then we gain these advantages. We help the economy, we save lives, we reduce the risk of war, we cure cancer, we save the environment, whatever it is, you can claim those advantages because we better meet the goal than the current system does. We're not changing the goal, we're just meeting it better. I believe, and maybe different coaches or whatever might disagree with me, but I think those two formats of cases that we just talked about really are comparative advantage cases. They could also be phrased in terms of harms. For example, if we're not meeting the goal, maybe we suffer harms as a result. Then if we start meeting the goal, we solve the harms. So a goals case could be a harms case, or it could be a comparative advantage case. It just depends on how what the evidence says and how you phrase it. Some cases are very clearly comparative advantage cases. That is, we're not claiming to solve problems, only to improve on the status quo. We're not saying the status quo is bad, we're saying we can make it better. Or we're saying, yeah, there are some problems in the status quo. We're not claiming to fix all of them, we're claiming to make it better than it is today. Maybe one of the problems in the status quo is taxpayer rip-offs. People are cheating the welfare system. And our plan reforms that and reduces by 50% the amount of the rip-offs. We're going to eliminate half of it. Okay, did we completely solve the problem? No, but we're better off than we would have been if we hadn't voted affirmative. So we gain an advantage compared to the status quo. And again, it doesn't mean you escape the stock issue of significance. If my plan says we're going to improve economic growth in the United States, yeah, we have a good economy now, but if you vote affirmative, we're going to get a 10% increase in economic growth. Okay, great. I'll vote for that. But suppose I'm an affirmative team and I propose my plan and we're going to have this big old plan. We're going to change all this stuff around. And when it all gets done, we're going to have a $1 increase in economic growth. Well, is that worth debating for an hour and a half? Probably not. You've just wasted an hour and a half of the judge's time and the negative team's time. And what's the negative team going to argue? Significance. Even though we didn't use the word harms in our case, stock issue of harms or significance still comes into play. Because your case doesn't produce a significant enough benefit to warrant consideration. It's a waste of our time to debate a $1 increase in growth. So you still failed on that issue. Here's an example of an outline, how I might outline a comparative advantage case. We have definitions, we have inherency, things we're doing, results of the things that we're doing. I'm not calling them harms, I'm just calling them the way the status quo is structured. Status quo is doing A, B, and C. We fix those things and then look at the benefits we get by changing those things. We get increased world peace, 10% increase in economic growth, and we reduce the risk of terrorism. Those are good reasons to vote affirmative. Those are all benefits or increases over the status quo. Am I solving for all terrorism? No. But I'm reducing the risk, and that's a benefit. That's a comparative advantage. Am I solving world peace? No, but I'm making it better. Comparative advantage. What factor most influences you to write a comparative advantage format case instead of harm solvency? The answer is the evidence. If the evidence says, if only we did policy X, it would greatly reduce the risk of terrorism. Well, that sounds like a comparative advantage. Reducing the risk of something bad is an advantage over the status quo. Now, if you got a card that says, if only we did policy X, it would completely solve for all terrorism, okay, fine. And you've got a really good solvency card there. But if you're talking about reducing risks or increasing growth, those are very often things that sound like advantages, sound like comparative advantages over the status quo. So I would like to phrase them in this term, as a comparative advantage. Sometimes firm teams run criterion cases. They may be former LD debaters. They want criteria in their cases. Nothing wrong with that. You can use them if you want to. You don't have to. No rule that says you have to have a criterion in your affirmative case. They're similar to a goals case. And in fact, you can have a goals criteria case, set up a criteria and have goals that go with it and all that stuff. But a criterion, at least in my understanding of it, and I'm a policy guy, so criteria, I don't like them all that much, but not used to them. And probably the LD folks have like 10 pages of definitions of what a criterion is and how it works a lot better. They know a lot more about that. But this is what I think they are. I think they're an objective that should be met but isn't being met in a status quo that deals with values or moral objectives rather than specific policies. There's this moral value that we should be upholding for this maybe a little more fuzzy goal we should be upholding. But criteria are not means, they are ends. For example, here's a criterion that I saw that I said, no, we're not doing it that way. The criterion for judging this round will be border security. The team that best enforces the border should be awarded the ballot in today's debate. You know why that's a bad criterion? It's bad because why should I care whether the border's enforced or not? You haven't made me care yet. Why should the team that best enforces the border win the round? Why do I care about that? You haven't read any evidence that says that enforcing the border makes any difference at all. What if enforcing the border is a big waste of money? What if we should have open borders? I don't know. Enforcing the border is a means towards something else. What are we trying to achieve by enforcing the border? Oh, well, what we're trying to achieve is, how about this? The criterion for judging this round will be the safety and security of American citizens. See the difference between a means and an end. Ultimately, what difference does it make if we enforce the border or not if we achieve better safety and security for American citizens? Isn't that really what the criterion should be? Who produces a better safety and security policy or objective? And I would add that it does not grant a free pass on the stock issues. You still have to prove that you significantly make things better. You still have to prove the status quo isn't doing your plan. All those things. Miscellaneous words of warning. And then I'll wrap things up and we'll go into the Q&A. These are the things to look out for. Raising harms you don't solve. That's a bad idea in real life and it's a bad idea in affirmative plans. How many of you think it's a good idea to go to your mom and say, Mom, the garage is really messy? You're about to raise a harm that you really don't plan to solve. Because you know what Mom's going to say. Well, go out there and clean it up then. Uh-oh, I didn't want to do that. So don't raise that harm in the first place. Yes. That's a good question. The question is, if you have a harm in your case, do you have to prove that you have an advantage that solves the harm? I would say not necessarily, because it might be obvious that canceling whatever that policy is would make that bad thing go away. If your evidence is very, very specific to that issue, you can get away without it if it's obvious. So the answer is it depends. Surprise mandates. You're going along with your plan about, I saw a case years ago. It was an energy policy case. We're going on and on about ethanol this and ethanol that, and we need ethanol, and our plan is to do ethanol. And all of a sudden, the third mandate is carbon fiber cars. I'm thinking, well, where'd that come from? Well, all their evidence has been about ethanol. Now they're talking about carbon fiber. What's a carbon fiber car? What does it have to do with ethanol? It's a surprise. You're confusing the judge when you do that. I know you're trying to confuse the negative team, but confusing the judge too. Dummy mandates are similar. You have mandates in there that don't actually link to anything, that don't cause and the advantages. The risk to a dummy mandate is that the negative team will run a disadvantage on you, and you were getting no benefit from that mandate. All it gave you was the risk of a disadvantage. So you don't want dummy mandates in there, mandates that don't actually produce any benefit to your plan, mandates you don't need to solve the problem to gain the advantage. You want as few mandates as you can and still achieve all the benefits that you're claiming. Extratopical mandates. Basically, extratopical mandates are mandates that do things outside the resolution. Maybe some of your mandates, for example, this year, Mandate 1, build a fence between the U.S. and Mexico. Mandate 2, launch a manned mission to Mars. Well, okay. Mandate 1 upholds the resolution, probably. But you go into your advantages and start claiming benefits from reduced illegal immigration and benefits from space exploration. And the negative team's going to start screaming. And the judge is going to be scratching his head. What has all that got to do with immigration policy? That stuff about the Mars mission. It's extra topical. Right? Yeah, you did the resolution with the fence, but then you added some extra stuff that went beyond the resolution. Don't do that. Missing inherency. Sometimes affirmative case writers don't understand inherency and they leave it out. Sometimes they use vague or missing solvency evidence. They need evidence that proves their plan solves the problem and they don't have it. They just assume that if they pass their plan, the problem goes away. Or the evidence is vague. It just says, well, we need to do something about this problem. But it doesn't say do what their plan does. And finally, I'm going to say it again because everybody ignores me. Prepare more than one case.